because of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Jesus. Amen. Why don't we give the Lord a clap of praise? Amen. Thanks for all the good things that He's done for us. Bringing Brother Terrence back and Brother Dale. Looks like he's going to be back and post of duty on Sunday, Lord willing. So looking forward to that. Amen. Praise God. I know that He is. Praise God. It's good to see our sister here with us once again. I forget your name.
Jordan.
George. That's not her name. Amen. Well, this is a sister from Brother Luke.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. All right. I recognize you. I didn't recognize you with the mask on. All right. It's good to be in the house of God. And you love the Lord?
Amen.
Good that Brother Bob and Sister Monica got back okay from Tennessee. Hope they had a good relaxing time. Like that shirt, is that? Amen. Praise God. So, I want to, while we're standing before we go to prayer, I want to ask that each and every one of you remember a family in Nicaragua in prayer. They lost their 1-year-old, little boy this afternoon, this around 11 o'clock this morning. And, they've been having issues. Last time when we were there, the sister was, that was their second child. The sister was pregnant with this child. And I never got to meet the little baby, but after a few months after the baby was born, there were some complications. I don't know exactly all of the details, but they were just back and forth in the hospital with the baby for the last, I'd say, last 5 months of this year. And so finally the baby just passed away. So you just remember that family in prayer. That's brother, his name is Brother Mario and sister Sister Scarlett, amen. And their family that Sister Scarlett's brother is a brother that I travel with when I go down there to Nicaragua around, so doing mission work. So you remember that family in prayer. And also continue to remember that baby in the Philippines that we've been praying about, baby Sean. They were going to send him home this week, I think it was. And then they said that they're not now because he was tested positive for coronavirus. So I don't, the family's to the point where they don't even believe the hospital now. So it seems like it's a insurance milking thing. So but that's terrible. It's terrible for the parents. This is their first child.
Amen.
And they can't even take their child home. Mm-hmm. So you just remember that family in prayer. They've just been very patient. And so just put yourself in their shoes. Mm-hmm. See, if you had a baby, how would you feel if you were in their place? Same thing with the family in Nicaragua. Amen. So before we read the word, let's just bow our heads and let's ask God. to intervene for these requests. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to come and feast upon your word, Lord Jesus. And we just ask you, Father God, on behalf of these requests, Lord, for these families, Lord, Father God, the losing of the little baby there, Father, and Sister Scarlett and Brother Mario there in Nicaragua, Lord. Father God, you know every detail of that situation, Father. You know what the family's going through, Lord. It's been a very rough last 5-6 months for them, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just give them the peace that passeth all understanding right now, Lord. Give them comfort, Lord. Give them an assurance, Lord, that you know best, Lord God. And Father God, we just commit that in your hands, as well as little baby Sean, Lord, and for the family. Lord, may they be able to take the baby home soon, Lord God. And you just be with that situation, Father God. And Lord, also just help us, Father, to receive from your word this evening, Lord. We come not to hear a man, Lord, but we come to hear from you, Lord God. Lord, anoint our lips, Lord, and anoint our ears, Father God, that we may draw closer to you through your word. We pray, Lord, now that you just bless this time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen. Praise God. Amen. So if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to do my best not to keep you long tonight. I know that inclement weather's coming through, and so we want to get you all home as soon as possible. So we'll not take too much time tonight. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18, the Bible says, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Amen. Now, Isaiah was not talking here to not think about. Of course, if we put the context in there, he was talking to Israel. God, obviously, he was a prophet to Israel. But he was not telling Israel, don't think about the past. Obviously, we have memories. We have things that experiences that we've had, and good memories and bad memories. But what he's telling them is, which is in the next verse, he's telling them, don't get so consumed about the things of old or the way of old, because here God was about to introduce a new way. Amen. In verse 19, it says, "Behold, I will do a new thing." Remember, this is God speaking through Isaiah. "Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed myself. They shall show forth my praise." Amen. You may be seated this evening. I'd like to just give this a little title, A Return to God's Normal. A Return to God's Normal. You know, we've been hearing a lot lately, especially this year, about a new normal. That's a new phrase that we've been hearing, a new normal. And we have to remember that what's happening in the natural, God is also happening in the spiritual. Amen. Praise God. So I was just looking at reading this scripture and just thinking how God is telling here Isaiah to tell the children of Israel, do not remember the former things. Amen. It was great when the former things and the way we used to walk and the way we used to live and carry on our way. Neither consider the things of old. In other words, don't get so fixated on the way things were. You know, sometimes I believe that we as human beings, we get so nostalgic sometimes. I preached a message, I taught a Sunday school lesson a while back called Spiritual Nostalgia. And sometimes we get so fixated on what God did and what the things that happened in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. And we forget what God is doing now. We forget the present God that's walking amongst us and living amongst us and speaking amongst us and thinking through us. Amen. Because we're so fixated on the things of old. Amen. And the things of old were great. They were light for that time. Amen. But God is still walking. Amen. Just like the children of Israel, when they were walking in the wilderness. Amen. They could not stake their post to the tent in the area where they were camping at forever. And think, oh, that's just how, this is where I'm going to be. It couldn't be that way, because why? That pillar of fire and that cloud was moving. Amen. And they had to move along with it. And if they didn't, amen, they would just be stayed back. And the same thing goes with us, saints. If you don't move with what God is doing now, amen, you're just going to stay. God's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do anything, but you've got to move on with Him in order, amen, to receive from Him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So He says here, He says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye know it? In other words, this is going to happen and you will know about it. Amen. This is something that you will know. It's going to be visible. It's going to be tangible. You will know about it. And it says, and I will even make a way in the wilderness. Amen. Think about that. Amen. That God can make a way in the wilderness. God can make a way in the wilderness that you're in right now. Amen. God can make, you know, for those of you who hunt, there's probably not many trails in the woods. Amen. And sometimes you got to walk in the middle of trees and you have to use tools in order for you to get out. Amen. If you didn't have these tools, you probably end up getting lost. But God is able to make a way in the middle of a wilderness, in the middle of your wilderness, in the middle of what problem you may be having. He's able to make a way for you in this hour. Amen. It doesn't matter what it is. No matter if it's sickness, if it's death, no matter what it is, God is able to make a way. And He continues to tell the children of Israel, and rivers in the desert. Now you don't find too many rivers in the desert. Amen. But God is able to make rivers in the desert. Amen. Praise God. So that you can feed on. So that you can drink and be satisfied. Amen. It's like the woman at the well. Amen. When she came to the real living water, she thought she was receiving the water from the well, and that was sustaining her physically. But there was a man there that could sustain her spiritually, amen, that could give her the living water. And that's what she was looking for, that's what she needed, and that's what Jesus gave her, amen. Praise God. And she came running back and she told the city. She didn't tell them about anything else. She didn't go talk about her dress or her hair or anything like that. She said, come see a man who told me everything that I've done. Isn't this the very Messiah? And that's what's going to happen with you when you drink from the water of life. Amen. You don't want to talk about anything else. You don't want to be engaged in anything else, but amen, to talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. And His power and what He's done for you. Amen. May even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honor me. The dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness. In other words, those animals will be satisfied. Amen. And rivers in the desert to give drink to my people. Watch, my chosen. Amen. Are you His chosen tonight? Praise God. To give my people, my chosen, this people have I formed for myself. Amen. They shall show forth my praise. Amen. Amen. Yes. You're not going to show forth your own thing. You're not going to show forth anybody else's praise. Amen. You're going to show forth His praise. Amen. Right. When you've really drunk from these rivers of life.
Right.
Amen. So we thank God. Amen. For what God has done. You know,
amen.
We thank God for what God will do. But you know, Brother Branham told us that there's a problem that we have as human beings, even as Christians, is that we thank God for what He's done, and we thank God what He will do, and we neglect what God is doing right now. It's so easy to do that. We think that right now, with what's happening right now, with what we're going through right now, or whatever problem it is, that God's not in our midst. Yet God is more in the midst than you realize that He is.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, if we could just go back to when Brother Branham was here and when the prayer lines and those things were great for their day.
Amen.
Right. And as a matter of fact, they were stepping stones for where we are at now.
Right.
We needed that in order to get to where we are now.
Right.
Amen. But we can't live in those days.
Right.
Amen. And neglect what God is doing right now, because you're going to be like the children of Israel being left behind. You see, they were walking in the journey. They stepped through different phases where God was. God was there in the phase of the 1940s and the 1950s and the 1960s in the wilderness. Amen. But God moved on to the 1990s and to the 2000s and to the 2010s and to the 2020. Amen. Praise God. And God is here amongst us. I believe it because each and every one of you who have the Holy Ghost, God is here. Amen. I hope you believe that. So Brother Branham says, we thank God for what he did in the past and what God will do in the future and fail to thank God for the present. We fail to do that. And you have to realize that when God is a present God, he is a God of the future and he is a God of the past. But what did he tell Moses when he appeared before him in the bush? He said, Moses asked him, where am I supposed to tell the children of Israel when I go down there? He said, tell them that I am that I am.
Amen.
That I am that they serve. That's the I am that I am.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He didn't say I will be or I was.
Nope.
I am that I am. Amen. Praise God. An ever present God. Amen. In the time of trouble. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham says he says that all the natural things of the earth type the spiritual. And then everything in the natural types the spiritual. Amen. Everything. Amen. So things that we're looking at, I just want to mention a few things. Amen. Just to lay a foundation to where I want to go. Amen. But we see that what we've been going through in the last several months and it's been weary.
Yeah, right.
It's been tiresome. Right. Amen. It's been a lot of changes. Amen.
Yep.
But God, you have to remember that God is allowing it.
Amen.
Amen.
Again, always think about this. God only cares about fulfilling his word.
Right.
And whatever needs to take place in order for the word to be fulfilled, that's what will happen. He knows us better than we know ourselves. We think that we're in a certain position, and we're probably million miles away from that position that we think that we are. Therefore, God puts us in positions, in places, in certain situations to make us realize, hey, you're not where you think you are. To make us think on our ways.
Yep.
To make us think about what it is that I believe.
Right.
Who it is that I'm really serving.
Right.
Praise God. What kind of example I'm being for my family.
Amen.
My friends, the people around me, you see?
Right.
God cares about those things.
Yeah.
And therefore he puts things in certain ways, amen, that makes you, amen, do according to his will.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. Now the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, he says, Paul speaking, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Amen. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. We have to remember, amen, that this is a spiritual battle. This is not a physical battle. Although we see so many things in this hour that make it seem like it's a physical battle. Everybody fighting amongst each other, the race wars and all this kind of foolishness and nonsense, politicizing everything, and we see it. It's sinful, it's gross, and it's heartbreaking almost. But that's what's happened. To make us think, see, Satan wants us to be fighting each other. And failing so that we can forget, amen, what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
So while we're fighting amongst each other, amen, we're falling spiritually, we're falling, and we fail to forget, amen, the greater purpose.
Amen.
And so that's what God wants us, that's what Satan would want us to do.
Right.
It's a spirit.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
It's a spirit that is out there, amen, anointing people. It's nothing but Satan.
Yeah, that's right.
Fighting each other, all these riots, all these things going on that you see in the media, there's nothing but the spirit of Satan in this hour. But we know that these things have to be. These things have to be. Amen. But you have to remember that you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling Brother Zach. I'm not fighting Brother Don. They're not my enemies. Amen. As a matter of fact, Brother Brown said that I am my own enemy. Satan's not even the greatest enemy. Satan just comes in and anoints your mind and anoints your thinking and anoints your spirit. Amen. And you have to wrestle with your own self. Every morning that you get up, you have somebody there to wrestle with you as soon as you look in that mirror. And it's you yourself. What decisions you will make what choices you will make that day, what attitude you will have that day, what things you will say that day. Because your flesh and your spirit would want to go a certain way. Because it's the easiest way. It's the easiest route. Somebody flips you off while you're driving. Amen. It's the easiest way to do it back. It's the easiest way to honk your horn and do something back. That's the easy route. The hard route is not to go that. Amen. That's the tough route. Now don't tell me that none of you all have had that problem. Have had that temptation. Somebody cuts you off or something like that. You just stay nice and quiet. I kind of doubt everybody has acted that way. Amen. But God's calling us, amen. So the more often you get cut off, the more for you to learn that lesson, the more you're going to get cut off, the more you're going to get flipped, you know, the more, because God wants you to learn that lesson, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus, amen. So thinking back on these changes, amen. Remember, returning to God's normal, amen. And we saw that there were very abrupt changes, amen, from the beginning of the year, amen. They were placed upon us pretty much overnight. We were living January and February, amen, just normal, like nothing was going on. Yeah, we heard about a virus in China and, you know, kind of hearing the news and didn't think it was going to come here. Amen. All of a sudden, things changed. Amen. And they told us that life, amen, was not going to be the same anymore and that everything is going to be different from now on. The life that you knew before, amen, that's totally gone. That's exactly what they're telling us now. Amen. The world leaders and powers that be, they're all talking about a new normal. As a matter of fact, in the next few months, you will probably continue to hear these phrases more and more. A new normal, a great reset, and the fourth industrial revolution. Now, I don't say this. You go to their websites and you can read about that in their own literature. They talk about these things. Matter of fact, they've talked about these things even before the coronavirus hit. This is what they want. And if you know anything about the New World Order, this is just another phrase for the New World Order, which the Pope is in line with and all these people, they're in line with all of this. And you're going to continue to hear, amen. So they want a radical change to take place. What is the Great Reset? What they're talking about is a complete change of the way human beings used to live. They can't live the same way anymore. And then they say, we've got to take advantage of the current pandemic in order to implement this change. Opportunity is what they say. Amen. In the Industrial Revolution in a nutshell, because we had, for example, the first Industrial Revolution was about using the steam and the coal, amen, to produce the engines and things like that. The second Industrial Revolution made use of electricity and petroleum and assembly lines. That was around the turn of World War I all the way to around World War II. That was the second Industrial Revolution. The third Industrial Revolution made use of digital electronics. Probably around the 70s till now. Amen. And people also refer to it as the information age. That's the age that we are living now. And they call that the third Industrial Revolution. That's the age that most of us lived in. Amen. It's the age I grew up in. And it was nice. It was nice. The technology, you know, the smartphone came, you know, we didn't have to use the dumb phone anymore. The smartphone came and not realizing that smartphone, you know, would just tracks you wherever you go. Because it takes pictures and everything like that, you know, it's all nice. It's all pretty. And on the back end, they're doing things that you have no idea what's going on. But now we're getting into what's called the fourth industrial revolution. Now, you don't believe me, you go and Google these things. It's there. I'm not making none of this stuff up. This is what they say the fourth industrial revolution is. It says, it's not only about smart and connected machines and systems. The scope is much wider. It's what they say. It is the fusion of these technologies and their interaction across the physical, digital, and biological domains. In other words, what they want to do is they want to mesh you with machines. Some way or another. I don't know how they're going to do it. Where you don't have to physically hold a tablet, hold a keyboard, use a mouse, use a smartwatch. No. You are the machine. It's in you. I hope we don't get to that. I want to go home. But this is what they want to take us. This is the perversion that they want to take us. Remember, Satan is the god of this age. Satan is the god of this evil world that we're living in. And all Satan does, he hates the image of God. He knows that each and every one of us are created in the image of God, and he hates it. So he's trying to distort the image of God in this hour. And I listen to the speeches of these people where they have the Davos meetings and the World Economic Forums and all these things. I listen to what they say, and it's almost creepy what they talk about. But they talk about things regarding, and it's almost like they're just blaspheming God. They said our data, the data that they can grab from us. That's the reason why you have smartwatches that monitor your health, monitor your heartbeat, and all that kind of stuff. You think that's going somewhere, and they're gonna use it. And it's gonna get even worse. But they say all this stuff is going to the clouds. And it's going to be an AI. They're going to have an AI there to manage things. And then they say, but it's not managed by a God above the clouds, is what they say. They say it has nothing to do with a God above the clouds, but the clouds that we have, the Microsoft cloud and the Apple cloud and all these things. And it's just such a blasphemy. And then they talk about that these things, this data that they're grabbing from you, will be able to tell you if for example, the guy that was giving the speech, he said, I didn't know that I was gay until I was 21 years old. He said, if I would have had this data, if this data was being taken from me, even at a young age, it would have told me that I was gay before I turned 21. See, and that's what they want to. They want to come to. They want to tell you. The data wants to tell you. The AI wants to tell you if you're a girl or a boy.
Yeah, right.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Amen. Amen. But that's what this world's coming to. Amen. So this new normal, amen, that these elites in the world want, it's anti-God. It's satanic. Amen.
Right.
It's a dictatorship over you and I. Amen. But you know what, saints? God has wanted the same control, but not over a people and not a dictatorship over a people. Amen. But he's been wanting to do the same thing, but through a people. Amen. He's been wanting to do the exact same thing, but through a people. Amen. Ever since he created Adam. Amen. His idea was for him to use man. Amen. To rule this domain. As a matter of fact, Adam had that domain, had that rule over the earth.
Right.
And he said, Adam, you rule the earth and I'll take care of heaven.
Yep. That's right, brother.
And of course we know that sin came into picture and it took all of that. And that's the reason why animals now, they fear us. And when those things didn't even used to be, you could go and pet a lion, you could go pet a tiger, and you could be with a deer and it wouldn't even run away. But now, all that's changed. But you see, the reason why you desire to go for those things is because that is out there for you.
Yeah?
How many have not been a deer and wanted to be next to a deer, you know, to maybe pet it or something like that? I know maybe some of you girls maybe might have felt that way. I know my little girls, amen, when they were younger, I wish I could go pet the squirrel, you know, but the squirrel runs away. You see? So, but that's not from the beginning. Amen.
Amen.
God always wanted to rule. Amen. And God has always been interested in sharing everything that he is with this group. Amen. That's why he said in the word that we are heirs and joiners with Christ if we are his children. Amen. Everything that he owns, everything that he is, we are. Amen. When we receive the new birth in soul. Praise God. And that is going to drive us, amen, to a body change. Amen. The world wants a technocratic body change, amen, but God is going to have a body change for us, amen, and it's going to be a body that's not ever going to die, an eternal body, making this body that you live in, amen, this pest house that you live in right now, eternal, amen. What great things, amen, that we are looking forward to, amen. See, we are heirs and joint heirs, amen. When I got married with my wife, amen, I didn't have much. I had a little 98 Honda Civic, red Honda Civic, and a little bit of money in the bank, and didn't have much. But everything that I had became hers too. You see? Everything that I owned, the bank account, my Honda Civic, even my clothes, if she could wear them. They were hers. And that was hard for a guy who's used to being living single for 25 years. but it became hers. Now she still, you know, she still let me use them. I'm just messing. But everything that I had became hers. Why? Because we got married. There's no such thing that when you get married, your bank account, you have a bank account here, the wife and the husband has a bank account here by himself. That shouldn't be that way. That's not how God intended it to be. And as a matter of fact, you're going to realize you're going to have problems by living your life like that. You having separate bank accounts and it's going to bring problems. Everything, when you get married, you join everything together. Because why? It keeps you accountable to each other, amen, for one. Amen. And it removes barriers of confusion. Amen. You know where the money is going because it's one account. Amen. But one has one account and one has another account or two or three accounts over here. And you're wondering, where's all the money going at? Why? It's because it's not centralized. Amen. I don't know how it got to that, but maybe somebody needed it. Praise God. So those that maybe that want to get married later, you know, think about those things. Amen. Think about those things. So everything that I had belongs to her. Amen. Because we got married. See, the marriage takes place here, spiritually. The marriage takes place here. That's the reason why. When you receive the Holy Ghost, amen. Praise God. That's a marriage. Amen. That's a marriage. And when we get to glory, amen, that's just the wedding supper then. That's just the celebration of the marriage. Praise God. That took place down here. That's the reason why when we're married down here, amen, it's just, that's why we become heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Everything that he owns, everything that he conquered, everything that he is, amen, belongs to us. Praise God. Amen. I love that. Praise God. Now, we know that Jesus Christ, he's a true leader. Amen. Amen. And a true leader is one who is out there with the people. Right. He's out there. A true leader is out there working with the people, getting her hands dirty with the people. Right. Not just telling people what to do. Go do this. Go do that. Go do that. No, he's out there doing it with them and even showing them how to do things. That's a true leader. And Jesus Christ, that's what he did for us. Amen. He experienced what it was to be sick, to have a headache. So that when you have it, amen, he knows what you're going through. He knows what it is to be tempted when you're a young person. Why? Because he was a young person. Amen. He knows when there's a death in the family. Why? Because he has experienced that as well. He had family as well. And they died. As a matter of fact, look what happened when Lazarus died. He cried. He cried as a human being. But as God, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Amen. And he had to come forth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So just remember in thinking about this thought, amen, returning to God's normal. Amen. Now, Isaac Newton said something, and if the brothers can bring it up, I think I gave it to him. As Isaac Newton being a scientist, he said this. He said, everything continues in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. Let me read that again. Everything, including us, continue in a state of rest unless it is compelled to change by forces impressed upon it. Amen. That's how we were before all this stuff hit. We were just relaxed, resting. We go to church. We go to work. We come home. We get and do this, that. We play with our children. We do this. Nothing, you know, it's all just relaxing and restful. And until something hits and impresses upon you, changes have to take place. Amen. Praise God. Something, for example, something lands that's bigger over this pulpit. If it comes down from the sky and crushes the pulpit, amen, it's going to make a change to the pulpit. Because that item, that it's bigger than the pulpit, it's going to crush it. It's going to make a change. Because forces have been impressed upon it. You see? And the same thing with you and I, amen. Sometimes God, saints, has to impress a force upon us, amen, in order for us to change. Otherwise, we're just dilly-dallying, relaxing, and thinking that everything is fine and dandy. When in reality, it is not. In reality, amen, you're in a state of mind that it makes you want to, because you're so relaxed, you start diving into things that you really shouldn't be doing. Have you ever noticed that when you're bored, when you're not really engaged in doing something that you should be doing or keeping your mind busy, it's when Satan comes in? Don't tell me you've never experienced that. If you're not, then you're not human. If you don't keep your mind occupied, especially on the things of God or doing something good, amen, that glory brings glory to God, you better believe Satan's going to come in there some way or another and totally distort that. Amen. Because he knows your weaknesses. He knows exactly what he can do and what buttons to press in order to get you to do something that later you feel condemned doing. You feel condemned. And then now it makes it worse. Now you don't want to read the Bible. Now you don't want to pray. Now, why? Because you feel so condemned. And you feel like God won't hear you anymore. Amen. I'm talking to somebody. Amen. You feel condemned. You feel like you don't even want to go to church anymore. I don't even want to see the people at church anymore. And every time that preacher preaches up there, amen, I just get bored. And I just sleep. Because why? You've accumulated so many bad, wrong things that you've been doing, and now, because you don't want to confess them, you think that God won't hear you, now, you're living in a state of confusion, in a state of backslid, and the only one that can save you is God. And the only way that He can save you is if you turn to Him with all your heart. Amen. Praise God. So let not much rest get among you. Amen. Too much rest among you in your life. Amen. Eventually something's going to come in and God's got to come in and take that rest. Too much rest. Too much relaxing. Too much thinking. I got money in the bank. I got two or three cars. You know, I'm paying high insurance on them, but big monthly payments on. But it's all right. I got them. As long as I can make the monthly payment, I know it's okay. No. Once, some way or another, God's gonna make it to where you're not gonna rely on these things. Those things will be gone one day, and all that's left is what you've done for others and what you've done for Christ. Amen. Your bank account won't save you. Nope. Even President Trump can't save you. Everybody's just after November 3rd, we can't wait. Well, amen. Everything's going to get back to normal when President Trump becomes president again and he gets elected. I'll give you some news. President Trump is not going to make everything better. He's actually one of the ones that visits these World Economic Forums. He was there last year. So whatever they talk about over there, he's in on it. So he's not going to make everything better. That's the reason why we got to, amen, look to the Word. Amen. Jesus Christ, amen. The president changes, amen. Your dad changes, your mom changes, your brother might change, but God never changes. Amen. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And that is the only person that I can put my faith and confidence in, that He will never fail me.
Amen.
Is this Word.
Amen.
This Word never has and never will
amen.
Fail me.
Right.
No matter how much pressure comes in my life.
Nope.
No matter how many changes come in my life, no matter how many new normals they put in, amen, this Word never fails.
Amen. Right,
amen. The Word never fails. Amen. Brother Branham says this. He says, strange. Sometimes God does things off of the color that we think it ought to be in. Amen. We thought that Hillary Clinton was going to be in the White House 4 years ago. It didn't happen. Because why? We put in our mind, we fix things in our mind that it's got to be this way. And 2 + 2 = 4. And this, but yeah, it's got to be that way. And nothing can change you. Until God totally does everything totally different from you. And you have to lower your head then. And realize you were wrong. But some of us don't admit it. We just keep... If we could just admit that we were wrong sometimes, that we fell, and that we did somebody wrong, you know, it would take us more a long way. Our relationships amongst each other would be so much better. Amen. Strange, sometimes God does things off of the color that we think it ought to be in. This fellow you see was born, talking about Jesus. This fellow was born, to their opinion, an illegitimate birth. His mother gave birth to him before her and her husband was married. As Brother Don so greatly stated this morning, it was a turning the corner. Amen. A turning the corner. They didn't recognize it. It usually happens that way. It comes to that corner time. Amen. That's what God is doing right now. He's turning the corner. He's moving. Amen. And you've got to be following. Praise God. And when a man ever comes in contact with Jesus Christ, he's different from man.
Yes.
You're never the same when you once see him.
Amen.
If there's any spark of God about you.
That's right.
Amen. Again, God's going back to God's normal. God's normal has always been from the beginning.
Yes.
It's never changed.
Nope.
It's still the same. Amen. And that's why he's trying to get us to come back to his standard. And his standard is his Word.
Amen.
His normal is his Word.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And God loves making changes. Yet he himself doesn't change. He loves allowing you to get in situations where you don't know what to do. And that's a good thing.
Amen.
That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing.
Amen.
If you're a child, a son and daughter of God, God has a purpose for those things.
Amen.
If you just hold on, you will see the purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want us to look at some examples. Amen. Let's look at Job, for example. Amen. Job was living his life. He had, according to the Bible, I think he was one of the wealthiest men in the world at the time. And see, had lots of things. He had cars. He had, chariots. He had nice things. Anything that a man, a wonderful family. He had lots of children and a wife. Hey, man, what more could a man ask for? And he also served God. See, he was a church going man. He went to church. He paid his tithes. He was good to the brethren. He shook the pastor's hand and he listened to the word and took note as he was listening. He never fell asleep in church. The Bible says that he even would offer sacrifices to God and would offer sacrifices for his children in case they had sinned. And he didn't know anything about it. Look how devout he was. And one day Satan comes to him and says, have you considered, what about Job?
How come he prospers so much? Because you are always backing him up.
And so, because God had so much confidence in Job, he says, okay, touch him, but do not take his life.
That's right.
You can take everything from him.
Yep.
Do everything that you want to, but do not take his life.
Yep. Right.
And that's exactly what he did. And in a moment's time, saints,
yep,
in a moment's time,
yep,
when at one day Job had money in the bank, he had his cars, he had everything that he could want, a good family and all those things. In a moment's time, all that was gone.
Right.
His
right.
house was gone, his everything was gone.
Right.
Except for his wife. And then his wife even changed.
Yeah.
Started mouthing off of him, telling him, just curse God and die.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Amen. So there was a change. But we know the end of the story. See, God was trying to show Satan something, but was also trying to make Job realize something about himself as well. That he didn't know and would not know if that would not have happened in his life. And he came to a point where he said, now I know my Redeemer lived. And in that day, I'll see him.
Amen.
In this body. Amen. Praise God.
He would not come
to that point if he had not went through that. Amen. Let's look at the children of Israel for just a moment. Amen. The children of Israel, amen, when they were in Goshen.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Goshen? After they, Pharaoh told them that they could stay in the best part of Egypt, it was Goshen.
Uh-huh.
They lived in the United States of America. The land was plenty. It was good land. They could grow anything. I mean, they had everything. And for years, they were prospering. They were growing. They had bank accounts. They were making money.
Yep.
Buying new cars, chariots. They had gadgets.
Yep.
Everything. And they went to church.
Right.
And it seemed like God was backing them up. Oh God, amen. I know God is for me and for us, because look how our nation prospers. Look how we prosper. God is another business account that's come in. Oh, thank God, yes. And no doubt God was allowing that for their lives. But you have to remember that back in early in Genesis chapter 15, I believe it was, God had already given Abraham a word. And told him that your ancestors, or the ones that were coming before you, they were going to be enslaved for 400 years. And that had to come to pass, some way or another. Now the children of Israel, as they were living, they didn't know anything about this, that word was given to Abraham. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but somehow it was out of sight, out of mind. And it had to come to pass. All their comfort and all the everything that they had and all the good things and everything all of a sudden came to a screeching halt when that Pharaoh came in, that new Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph came on the scene. Amen. In this hour, amen, we might have a Pharaoh that doesn't know Joseph. He sounds like he knows Joseph, but we don't know. How do we know? That's why we can't put trust in the man. We can't put trust on anybody. I'm telling you, we cannot put trust on anybody outside of Christ.
Amen.
Do not put trust in Trump. I'm telling you, do not do it. Because eventually Trump will fail you, and then what? He wasn't able to stop a virus from coming in. So, man can't do these things. Only God can.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. And so that word that was given to Abraham needed to be fulfilled. Amen. Then what happens? Israel crying out for a deliverer. For 400 plus years, they were there crying for a deliverer. And it took those circumstances of them being whipped, of them being enslaved. Amen. For them to get down really sincere with God. And say, Lord, the promise that you made, amen, you've got to bring it to pass. And we believe it. And they got such desperation. And God then came on the scene then. God then came on the scene when they got into desperation. Don't wait until you get into desperation or something terrible happens in your life for you to come to God. Don't wait for you to have a car accident or for one of your children, something happened to your children for you to get closer to God. Don't wait. Amen. For your bank account or you to lose your money or go bankrupt or something like that for you to get closer to God. Amen. Get prayed up now for that time. Because we know bad times are coming, so get prayed up now. Get prepared now. Get in the Word now. Amen. God is on the scene. God is present. Amen. He's ready to give you exactly what you need. Amen. Don't wait till then. You think things are going to get better and you think that things are going back to normal? They're not. They already said that they're not. Amen. It's time to get serious with God, saints. Quit your foolishness. Quit your playing around. And get serious with God. So the children of Israel, they were crying out and finally they were delivered. But the deliverance didn't come to them the way they thought it should. The deliverance came totally different from what they thought. And so because it came that way, then they started murmuring and complaining. And then they started thinking in their journey to the wilderness, to the promised land. They were so excited at first. And then in the middle of their journey, they, because everything got so hard and they felt like there wasn't any food, they started looking back at the flesh pots of Egypt. And at the garlics and the onions of Egypt. Not realizing that there was those same flesh pots and those same pleasures, amen, also brought to them enslavement and torture. But because when you forget that God is present and something's going on in your life and you forget that God is allowing this in your life, amen, you become blind. And you start thinking negative and you start thinking that God is not on the scene when God is on the scene. You think God had forgotten them while they were in the journey when they didn't have quail? God was right there the whole time. God was right there in the form of a pillar of fire, form of a cloud, and they had a prophet with the word of the Lord there. But they had a hard time believing the prophet. Does that happen to us in this hour? People that have believed this message 30, 40 years ago. Oh yes, God sent a prophet, praise God, yes. And they've shouted and jumped and screamed and they probably even spoke in tongues. And then all of a sudden in the middle of their journey, oh, that prophet, he says he's a prophet, but I don't know now. I don't know now. I think I'd rather go back. Go back to what? That's what I want to ask these people. I pray for them. I believe as long as they're still alive, there's mercy for them. That's just what I believe. You can believe whatever you want to, but I believe that there's mercy there for them. But how in the world can you go back? Amen. When you've experienced this wonderful word. To go what? To a Baptist church? How in the world can I go back to a Baptist church when I came out of the Baptist church? And thought that when I came out, that was the greatest thing that had happened when this word came into my life, to go back to the Baptist church or to the Pentecostal church. No. Amen. But that's what the children of Israel were desiring. To go back to the Baptist church where they were enslaved. Amen. Because we don't believe the prophet anymore. My, I don't even know how I got into that. Amen. We also see an example with Daniel. Amen. Daniel also, they were living their life just fine, comfortable, and all of a sudden Babylon came in, took over, amen, took them to Babylon, and then they were enslaved, but you see the story that all that worked together for good, amen. Praise God. And so at this time, look at the disciples, amen. When the disciples were with Jesus was with them. Everything was just fine and dandy. Miracles were taking place. Great, wonderful things were taking place amongst them, and they thought that Jesus would always be with them. And then Jesus would tell them, listen, the day will come. I'm going to have to go away. This is going to happen. And they didn't even believe what he was saying. Peter actually rebuked him one day and said, be far from thee, Lord. Be far from thee. That can't happen. Denying the word. and the word telling him what was going to happen.
Right.
So I wonder if we do that sometimes. Deny the word as the word is going forth. And you might not be doing it verbally, but you might be doing it from your heart. When you're there thinking about what I'm going to do at home as soon as I get home because I got something to do at home, when you should be listening and paying attention to the word, you're denying the word. When you're thinking and you're wondering, I wonder if such and such is listening to this. This is for them. Yeah. Get them, preacher. Yeah. You're denying the word. You're denying the word when you should be saying, Lord, that's for me. Let me change so that that change can take place amongst others. Amen. Let me be the change, you see? But we're there thinking about, I hope she's getting it. Yeah. Preach on them skirts. Preach. A little bit down home, right? That's good sometimes. But see, Jesus eventually went away. And then everything changed. There was a big change that took place for the disciples. Amen. Amen. In Hebrews, it talks about God doing away with the old covenant and establishing a new one. In Hebrews chapter 8, the Bible says, but now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Do you realize that the great things, the superheroes of the Old Testament that we so say, you know, the Davids, the Moses, the Elijah, and all these things, they did the things that they did, and they did not even have the new birth. They did not have the new birth the way you and I can have it today in their soul. They had a form of salvation. They had an anointing, you see? But they did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost because why? It could not come because Jesus had to first die, resurrect, and come back, amen, in the form of the Holy Ghost. That's why they could not have it that way. But what about you and I, amen, with the Holy Ghost in this hour? What great things can you and me do?
Amen.
What kind of things, if we are called, amen, for doing something like that? That doesn't mean, you know, that you could just go do it randomly whenever. No, it's if God needs you to, amen. God will let you know. Amen. If God told me tonight that I need to go to the hospital there in Gainesville and go pray for somebody because they're dying of cancer, amen. And when I pray for them, they're going to resurrect, amen. They're going to get better, amen. I better go do it. And yes, you can go and do it. Amen. And something may happen or not happen. But you know. But it's when God tells you to do it, best you go do it. Praise God. Verse 8 says, for finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, said the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. Let's go down to verse 10. I'm trying to make this quick. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be them to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Isn't that what happened to you and I? He's talking about the children of Israel. Amen. But that's exactly what has happened to us too. Amen. And verse 13, it says, a new covenant he hath made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. I've always wondered why that was the word of God. To vanish away? Did you see all what it is God's building on top of it? not vanishing. His word can't go. That's the foundation. But it's building on top. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And we see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're trying to move quickly, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things hath passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Amen.
You cannot be doing the same things that you were doing when you come to Christ. If you were a drunk, you can't be a drunk anymore when you really come to Christ. If you were a drug addict when you come to Christ, you can't be a drug addict anymore. Because all things that you were doing were old. All old things have become new. Amen. See, God's about making things new. Amen. Bringing us back to that normal that has always been. Amen. Ephesians 4:22 tells us that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. Praise God. Brother Brown says here, you know that's what's the matter with the church today. It don't get in the spirit enough. We're too much in ourselves. My, if you'll just get off of yourself long enough, you say, well, you know, our churches, we have a regular routine. Oh, who cares about your routine, Brother Brandon says. I wish you'd get out of the routine long enough to get saved. Anyhow. Amen. Get saved. Get out of the routine. We don't care about the routine. Get in the spirit. Then you can see things done. Brother Branham says. Amen. When something gets out of cater, oh, that's not what we do. I wonder if sometimes if we hinder the spirit because we do that. Because we're too much into the routine. Oh, we don't do it like that around here. My. And you may be quenching the spirit of God and you not even know it. My. So maybe God is using all of these changes, saints, amen, for us to examine ourselves. Amen. To examine our prayer life. To examine our Bible reading and studying. Amen. If we're doing it enough to examine our sincerity. Are we sincere? How are we sincere with each other? Or sincere with God? Amen. To examine our motives. What are our motives? What's your motive for coming to church? What's your motive for doing the things that you do on a daily life? Is it to glorify God? Or is it another reason? God knows. God knows your heart. Amen. And to examine our relationships. Amen. For us to examine our relationships. Check our relationships with each other. I believe it's time for us to talk about things and to bring things out, amen, that still are bothering you. If something is going on, amen, in your life and you can't get away, amen, examine yourself with that person. Make it right. Love the example that Brother Wade did the other day. Amen. That thing that was bothering him. Amen. He called the brother up. Amen. I had a phone call with a brother just last week about a certain thing. And when we talked about it, everything was cleared up. It feels good to know the truth about things. I think it's time for us to do that. But sometimes we don't want to do it because we don't want to admit that we're wrong.
That's right. Yeah, that's right, man. That's right.
Or, you know, if I'm wrong, I want to admit that I'm wrong.
That's right.
Yes. Don't wait for things to get worse, for you to get things right with your brother or your sister. People to be dying amongst us and things like that, or something terrible to happen in your family for you to realize, you know what, I wonder if this is because this happened. And this still has not been made right. Think about that. Amen. Just give me a few more minutes, saints. Amen. Make you laugh for just a moment. But one time I was reading something and there was a man that was living in the backwoods of Tennessee. And think, you know, this is about regarding change. Change is not bad all the time. Change sometimes is good. There was a man living in Tennessee and back in the early 1900s and he had never been to the city before. He was a farmer. He was a backwoods type of person. And him and his family, they lived there in Tennessee. And one day he got the opportunity to visit the city. Amen. And in the city, he stood in front of a building. And in this building, there was an elevator there. Of course, he had never seen anything like this before. And he sees this old lady, you know, this older lady just walking in there and pushes the button and gets inside the elevator door. And he's just sitting there looking at her and like, wow, how this works. And he just waits and he waits for a few minutes and next thing, a minute or 2 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes later, this young woman comes out. And you know, she's nice looking, and all of a sudden he looks at his son and he says, "Billy, come get your mother over here. Bring your mother over here." He realized something. Amen. Maybe that thing right there can change my wife. He thought that was the same lady that walked in. That was a good change. Amen. That was a good change. So changes aren't always good. And this, I want to finish up with this, saints. God right now, amen. Everything, remember in Mount Transfiguration, amen. When, during the Mount Transfiguration, God said, you know what happened, and God said, it was all in Him, amen. Hear ye Him, amen. It was all in Jesus, amen. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelled in Him, amen. Praise God. But now we got to get that same fullness, amen. That same Jesus, amen, it's got to live in us, amen, in the form of the Holy Ghost, amen. And in this hour, that's what's happening, amen. God is transitioning now, amen. It's not just God speaking through the prophet or God speaking, amen. But now God is using, amen, a bride to speak through in this hour, amen. Praise God. We know these quotes, amen. We know what Brother Branham said about, for example, in this last day, there is again another people in the land who under their messenger will be the final voice to the final age. Do you believe that? I believe that with all my heart, amen. I believe that I'm seeing them right now. You and I, amen. The final voice to the final age. It's not just in the man, not just why, but in the prophet, amen. The prophet's not here with us, amen. But the voice is, amen. And that voice is Christ's voice, amen. Another one in the same, and you can read these in the church age book. Yes, sir, the church is no longer the mouthpiece of God, speaking of the nominal church. It is its own mouthpiece. In other words, it went and did its own thing. So God is turning on her. He will confound her through the prophet, and the bride for the voice of God will be in her.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the normal. That's the normal that God's trying to get us back to.
Amen.
The normal from the beginning. Amen. When God created Adam, amen, and Adam had just to speak anything he wanted to.
Yes, sir.
God's trying to bring us back to that place. Amen. Oh, and he says, oh, he has given a voice to the bride. That voice is in the bride.
Amen.
So if you deny that, you're denying the message that you say you believe.
That's right. That's true.
You don't believe the church age book.
Nope. Right.
When you don't like when people sing about the voices in the bride and those types of things like that, there's something wrong with your experience with God. Because that's exactly what the prophet said, and that's what the word says. Amen. Look what the word says in Revelation chapter 22. It says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." If the bride didn't have a voice, amen, why is she saying come? Amen. The bride has a voice. Amen. Praise God. In Revelation chapter 21, Look what God is gonna do. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Look, for the former things are passed away." Amen. "And he that sat upon the throne, which is Jesus Christ, said, Behold, I make all things new." The world wants a great reset, amen, in the physical. And they might get it, but it won't last. But this new that God is creating, it's eternal. Amen. It's forever and ever. And we're part of it, saints. "And he said unto me, Write, for these words, look, are true and faithful." That means they're not going to fail. Amen. They are not going to fail. Amen. So, saints, it's time for you to make a decision. Right now, it's the time of decision. Amen. If you love him, praise God, then throw everything out. Throw everything that you have, amen. If you really believe his word, amen. Let it go. Let everything else go, amen. And stay with the word.
Yeah.
If you say that you really love God and you really believe his word,
amen,
then let everything else go.
Right,
and get into God.
Yes.
Do the things that you need to do to get you in step with God.
Yes, right.
Because if you don't feel that you're in step with God, maybe you're not doing that thing that you know you need to do.
Right.
And when you're not doing that thing that you know you need to do in order for you to get closer to God, that is iniquity. That is iniquity. And I pray, amen, if I have iniquity in my heart, I want to make it right. God, show me. Amen. I want to make it right. I hope that's your desire tonight. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Praise God. Returning to God's normal. It's not a new normal. God doesn't have a new normal. He doesn't change. God's normal was established, amen, in the book of Genesis or before the foundation of the world. Amen. God's normal was there. God knows what we are going through. God knows what our futures will be. And you just stay concentrated in God. You know, sometimes when we get off of looking into the Word the way we should and looking into other things, and amen, we get sight off of the main thing. And we start getting fearful. And we start disbelieving the Word. That God would not be able to take care of us. When in reality, God is more than able. God has made a way. Remember, that's why I read there in Isaiah that He has made a way in the wilderness and has made rivers in the desert. God can do that. Amen. Praise God. Brother Boy.
Amen. 237 this far off the news. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus kept me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus made me whole. Now let's have a little talk with Jesus. Hear our faintest cry, and He will answer by and by. Now when you feel the little prayer wheels turning, know the little fire is burning. If you find a little talk with Jesus, makes it right.
Sometimes my heart seems drear without a ray of cheer. And then cloud out
the light of day.
Amen.
But just a little talk
with Jesus makes a way.
Makes a way. Hallelujah.
What about our troubles? Hear our faintest cry, and He will answer by and by. Hear the little prayer wheels turning, though the little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. You believe that?
I have no doubts and fears, my eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to Him in prayer.
He knows my
everything.
He knows everything you're going through.
Just a little talk with Jesus makes it
right. All you gotta do is talk with Him.
Let us have a little talk with Jesus. Tell Him all about our troubles.
He will
hear our faintest cry, and He will answer by and by. Hear the little prayer wheels turning, know the little fire is burning. Find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
Amen. You believe that? You believe you felt that way? Amen. You know that what makes it right is just talking to God. Getting off somewhere, amen. And getting that off your heart, amen. And it just makes things right, amen. Praise God. Amen.
Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout, glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, the whole world is born in darkness. but he gave us a light to see. Yes, the whole world roams in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. Well, the whole world is born in darkness, but he gave us a light to see. That's just how he loves you and me. Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Oh, glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Well, you're working at this.
Anybody else?
Your servants are busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're running by that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Well, you're working at this and you're running by that. You seem so busy from morning to night. Comes right down, praise the Lord with all of your might.
Let's just sing this chorus and then you may be dismissed.
Well, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory. Lord, I just want to take a little bit of time and shout glory, glory, glory.
God bless you.
Well,
the church that they're building there in Mount Pinatubo needs a roof. They've finished everything else. What happened was...